Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Ladies and gentlemen. Worldwide. Podcasting since 2005.
Take it out.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
Back on the scene.
With your host, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
Here we go.
Welcome to Gamertag Radio, episode 606. This is your host, Danny. And joining me this week, we have my co-host, Pete, in the house.
What is up? What is up? What is up?
What's up, homie?
How are you
What's
doing?
Going on?
How you doing?
You really want to know what's going on with me?
Yes. Tell me.
I've been on a mission for the past couple hours now.
Okay.
This whole Galaxy Note 7 craziness. Mm-hmm. So, originally, I changed my phone. I replaced it a couple weeks ago.
Okay.
I bought it. Then I had to go back because of the whole issues from the first shipment. So I got a brand new phone. Then I've been reading the news that there's more people now having issues with the phone and it's exploding and all that. I'm not taking no chances. Mm-hmm. So I went to the store and I've been debating for the past day or so if I should get the Google Pixel or the Galaxy 7 Edge.
Okay.
So based on my research, for me, I think the Edge 7 is better for me. And I went to the store. I was in line at T-Mobile. And while I was in line, the last person, there was a person in front of me, got the last phone that I wanted, silver.
Okay.
So I was like, all right, let me go to another store that's close by my house. I went to the store. They said, yes, we have them. I was like, all right, perfect. I was in line. And again, one more person just purchased the last phone while I was there. So then I called another company, another store, and they said that they just ran out. I was like, you know what? I don't know what to do. I'm just going to wait.
So are you going to wait until October 20th and get the Pixel?
Nah, the thing is, Pete, the thing is this, because I have a memory card, 256 gig. That I received from Samsung for free because they had like a promotion deal. And it works on the 7 Edge. It doesn't work for the Pixel. Pixel is a beautiful phone. Love it. Everything is nice. But it's that I like about the Edge and also the display that I like about it. So, I mean, look, I was even debating, man, should I get the iPhone? I was like, no, I'm not going to do it. I have so many apps that I purchased from the Android. Even games, too. You know, so... What a mission.
So how much storage do you really need? Do you really need?
No, because I have a lot of pictures and videos from like family photos and stuff when we go out and stuff. So I have a lot.
Well,
so.
You know, you do understand that with Google Android, and yes, I am a convert, but I can still confidently talk about Android. I still have all of my pictures go through Google Photos on my iPhone 6, on my iPhone mm-hmm. 6S Plus. Mm-hmm. They just copy over to Google Photos and you have unlimited storage up in the cloud.
Yeah, I know. So, but what about my videos and all that stuff? I have a lot of videos, Pete.
Once it's synced to the cloud, you could delete them off your phone.
I think I'm good.
Okay. All right. I'm just saying, it's just there's no need to continue to clutter. And that's one of the reasons why I switched from Android to Apple. I don't rely so much on the local storage of my phone, which was always a big hindrance to me. Most of my stuff is either on Play Music on Google, which I pay for the subscription for Google Play. So I have YouTube Red, which I have no commercials ever when I go to YouTube. Mm-hmm. And that includes premium Google Play. So I have unlimited free music through Google Play. You know, on top of having it on T-Mobile, so I don't even have to bother, you know, with streaming audio and stuff like that. And I do also pay for Google Music or for Apple Music just so I could get Beats One Radio. So,
okay. I use a lot of Spotify too. So
again, you don't need the local storage. I don't know. It's just my personal preference.
I know.
And obvious. It's your preference. Obvious. It's up to you. I'm just saying there's no real need. And plus you would get an up to date, like the latest and greatest from Google. It's a really dope looking phone, man.
All right. Head over to gamertagradio.com or play.it/gamertag. Listen to our past episodes. Also, you can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, or other podcast directories. Oh, yes, and Spotify. Forgot to mention that. Very important.
Send us your feedback or questions. Yep. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com. Or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
Hey, so Danny, I want to take a quick moment and give a shout out to one of our sponsors. Big up to Mac Weldon. You know, for the past couple of years, I've had this big sock thing where, you know, I'm always finding outlandish, crazy looking socks. You know, that's one of the few things that I kind of pride myself on. And one of the most comfortablest pairs of socks that I have to be the Mack Weldons that I own. I've got like 5 different pairs. They're the only socks I have that actually stay up the entire day. I never have to go and adjust. And let me tell you, their t-shirts, I got this V-neck from them. It's quite honestly one of my favorite shirts just because it's so comfortable. One of the cool things also is they have this thing where there's silver actually woven into their underwears and shirts. For I don't know what kind of sorcery that they did, but it eliminates odor. Now, I'm a clean person, I must admit, but there's times where I go to the gym and I come back and I'm not so ripe. But this shirt is amazing. The shirt doesn't smell. I might, but the shirt doesn't. So if you want to be comfortable, dope socks, really comfortable shirts, they even got like sweatpants and hoodies, go over to macweldon.com. You get 20% off using our promo code GAMERTAG when you check out. It's not just for hanging around the house. You can wear these going out, go to work, going on first dates, going on second dates, everyday life. It's an excellent experience. Go to macweldon.com, pick out your stuff, get 20% off of your purchase by using the promo code GAMERTAG.
So we're back here, GAMERTAG Radio, and we have a couple of topics. And yes, we have a lot of fan mail questions. Paris is not going to be joining us this week, but hopefully next week he will join us and stuff. So, Pete, I just read that Cuphead is delayed till mid-2017. I've been waiting for this game now for a couple of years. So you know what? If it's a reason for them to make this game even better, go for it. I don't care. I just want to play a pretty good game.
So the press release says they discussed reducing the scope of the game to make a 26 to ensure that they met the 2016 release date. But we made the difficult decision to delay the launch in order to ship with our vision intact. Isn't this something that we have talked about ad nauseum? About games to be released, completed, not half-assed, not incomplete, not needing a day one patch. This is what we want from developers. We want them to take their time and release a solid release on day one.
Mm-hmm.
My question is, why is there so much hype about an indie game?
It's the style of the game. Have you seen Cuphead?
Absolutely. It's based off it looks like a 1930s like Mickey Mouse cartoon.
Yeah, it looks beautiful. It looks awesome. I love it.
So did you get a chance to play it at E3 though?
Dude, every time I'm about to play this game, either I had to interview Phil Spencer, he popped up and I had to like stop playing. And the other one was, I believe I had to interview Aaron Greenberg. And I think you were there.
Oh, that's right. That's right. It was me, you, and Paris.
And I was like, oh, I was about to press start. Oh, okay, let's do this interview. So we couldn't do it. So yeah, I mean, the game looks dope, you know. And I know we've been to a couple parties, mm-hmm. and they had it there too. And again, it's the whole interviews and everything. It's just tough to like sit back and just play the game while a bunch of people are there playing too, you know. So, but I think it's a great thing, man. Take your time. I want this game to be awesome, you know, so go for it. The last thing we want is a game that's rushed and we play and they just mess up the whole experience. You know, I don't want that at all.
So yeah, I agree. I mean, the original launch date was always expected to be sometime in 2016. And now I'm assuming if it's going to be mid 2017, could it potentially be a Scorpion release title?
Scorpion.
No, I doubt it. I doubt it because the thing is, this game is coming out mid 2017. Scorpio is coming out holiday of next year.
Right. Well, remember, it's a launch window, not a launch date. They never defined the actual date that it's going to come out. They just said mid 2017. So it gives you a gray area. Why not make it a launch title with Scorpio?
That's true. We'll see. I think they should release it before that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. That, in my opinion. And just have the big AAA games for the launch of Scorpio. My opinion. All right, Pete. So there's been rumors about Hello Games that got shut down. I know there's been rumors that I've been seeing all over the internet for like a couple of days now. Is it true? Is it false? What's going on? For those that don't know, they're the developers of No Man's Sky.
It's hard to say. Obviously, the people with the ultimate knowledge are going to be Sean Murray or the people at Hello Games themselves. There's been some internet Easter eggs that people have either tweeted and then summarily deleted off of their Twitter feed. But there's been some responses from, I think it's Paul Weir, who's the game's audio director. And apparently it appears that they're hard at work working on updates for No Man's Sky. I know their subreddit was shut down, that you needed a username and password, or you had to be approved to be able to see it. They're currently one of the worst rated games on Steam, if not the worst rated game
of this year or ever.
I believe it's right now. It's currently the worst rated game on Steam.
That sucks.
So only 11% of the reviews written over the last 30 days have been positive. So even though it's been a success financially, critically, and the response from gamers in general has been rather harsh. So it only time will tell whether this game has a future in gaming. I don't know. When you come out with as much hype as No Man's Sky had coming out, this doesn't bode well. Although being an indie title, you're kind of given a little bit of a free pass because you don't typically have the resources of a full AAA or a AAA IP similar to like No Man's, or not No Man's Sky, but similar to like Mass Effect or a game like that where you have enough resources and developers to be able to get things done in a timely manner. So time will tell whether they have a chance to succeed, and hopefully them coming out with an update is positive. Positive news moving forward, and we'll see.
Okay, well, good luck to the guys over there.
Definitely, and maybe
I feel bad. I feel really, really bad for them. Mm-hmm. It's just like, man, I don't know, man. It's just too much, man. You know, too much, and it just, the whole situation just sucks. You know, because they seem they were really, really passionate about this game. You know, and this whole situation just sucks.
Yeah, well, I just imagine what it's like, the stress and everything else, the pressure that has been put on Hello Games as a whole to try to live up to this high bar of expectation that's been thrust upon them, simply because all of the hype, you know, the hype machine was crazy. It's epic in the amount of anticipation and hope that this game was going to be a success. Unfortunately, maybe it was too much for the small team at Hello Games. I can't speak for them. I'm not a coder. I don't do video games. I just play them. I'm just a fan like everybody else with a controller or a keyboard. So I can't imagine what it's like. I just know from working in IT that writing and developing code is not an easy task. So I'm sure that the people at No Man's Sky, you know, the people at you know, working on No Man's Sky, they're definitely working hard to right their wrongs. Nobody wants to do bad work and be associated with, you know, poor development or poor work, you know, especially when your name is associated to a title. Mm-hmm. So I'm pretty sure that they're, if them not being shut down is true, then I'm sure they're doing everything in their power to try to come up with a correction and course correct for the game. And hey, awesome. Maybe Paris was right. Maybe they just need time to fix, you know, No Man's Sky in general. Maybe 2.0 will be what gamers expected out of No Man's Sky upon launch.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
All right, so we're going to go now to fan mail. You want to do this, Pete? The whole fan mail stuff? All right, I was going to do the cue right now. Okay. it's time for fan mail.
Fan mail at gamertagradio.com.
Fan mail.
All right, so we have a lot of questions here. Pete, you want to pick the first question here? We could go from there.
All right. This one comes from Craig, a.k.a. Mr. Boomstick XL. I've always been a gamer who defends a reviewer's score or opinion on a game. My dad used to tell us when we were kids, son, opinions are like booty holes. I'm going to use the G-rated term. Everybody has one. But the score that GameSpot gave Gears of War for a 7.0 is unjust and plain wrong. Everything about this game screams quality and makes an excellent pick for Xbox's Game of the Year nod. Just about every other gaming site and outlet has had nothing but praise for Gears of War 4, which is why this mediocre score is very surprising. GameSpot talks about bland, single-player story elements. That's horse poop, and here's why. The Coalition is trying to tell a new story with new characters and at the same time pay homage to the characters and lore of the Gears games that came before it. I think the comparison to Star Wars Episode 7, talked about on Podcast Unlocked with Ryan McCaffrey on Episode 266, is perfect. Gears of War 4 starts off extremely well, giving plenty of backstory for new Gears of War players, and ends very strong, paving a way for new stories to be told and enjoyed. The gaming community as a whole has been blowing up Twitter and other social media outlets over this travesty of justice. Yes, it's their opinion, but it's still wrong.
All right. Well, thanks, Craig, for the email. Now, here's the thing, man. I think that everybody's going to have their own opinions. Is that going to change my mind about the game? No. It's okay if they give it a low score. Personally, I don't see a 7 a low score at all. But if that's what they want to do, that's fine. That's their opinion. Who cares what people are giving the game? You are enjoying the game, and that's all that matters at the end of the day. You know, I'm having a blast with the game. Pete and Paris, they're having a blast with the game. So this little thing, is that going to stress them out? No. Who cares? Everybody's going to have different opinions. You know, so if I was you, I wouldn't even stress it. It's all good. That's their opinion, you know? So just move on and just have fun, man. I'm having a blast. There's games that I like that P and Paris don't like, and there's games that they like that I don't like. Is that going to mess up our experience? No. We just continue playing. That's it.
Yeah, I can't disagree with you on that one. I've said it from the past. You can't argue against another person's opinion. That's why they're called opinions. They're not fact. Like you love Sunset Overdrive. Perfect example. You love Sunset Overdrive. I'm not a fan of it.
Love it.
Right.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I can't tell you that your opinion is wrong. That's your personal opinion. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's why
totally agree.
Part of reviewing games has to be taken with a grain of salt. The review score is based upon the reviewer's experience and whether they like a game like that or not. Sometimes, although they try to be as unbiased as possible, sometimes it makes its way into those review scores. I mean, that's why I've tried to play games lately that are, or try to review games that are outside of my normal comfort zone to change my, to hopefully change my outlook on other types of games and try to get myself out of the horse blinders of just shooters. Right. So
and here's the thing. Here's the thing too, Pete, that I think that we all have different experience and different opinions. If we are having so much fun with it, does it really matter what people say? And I love how we review games. Like, we just talk about our experience. We don't talk about the story that much. We just talk about our experience overall when we review games, you know? So go for it,
Pete. No, that's fine. So I saw a graphical representation of Marcus Fenix in game one next to Marcus Fenix in Gears 4. And the visual difference is amazing. It's to imagine a game that can present an experience in that detail. Granted, I'm playing it on a 1080 on PC. You're playing it on an Xbox One S. I don't know the graphical similarities. I can't compare them side by side because I don't have a 1S. I can't do that. But from everything that I've read and heard, whether it's been from, you know, games media to people, you know, either on my Facebook or Twitter feeds, the overwhelming response has been amazing.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't get that when you heard from, unfortunately, I hate to keep bringing this up, Sunset Overdrive. The response to that game was scattered. Some people liked it. Some people didn't like it. Some people were, it was all over the place. But when a resounding percentage of the general populace has a positive opinion on a game, hey, you look like a duck, walk like a duck, talk like a duck, chances are you're a duck. And that same analogy applies here. But again, it all goes back to your opinion. If this isn't your type of game, or maybe even though they've had 3-4 years between iterations of Gears of War, you still have that franchise fatigue. Maybe it's not for you. And maybe that's, you know, going into why people don't like it. I can only speak for myself. I've been enjoying the hell out of Gears of War 4. And I think a lot of people will. A lot of people that I've spoken to personally have truly enjoyed getting back into the Gears, you know, the Gears universe. And shout out to the Coalition. Amazing. Y'all did an amazing job on this.
Home run.
Yeah, absolutely. Out of the park. Sure. Knocked it out of the park.
Yeah. All right, so we have an email here from Brandon. He's a lonely gamer. He says, hey, guys, my name is Brandon. I'm from Chicago. Well, we have a lot of listeners from Chicago. Shout out to everybody over there. This is my first time writing, and I have a question for you. So I guess I'm what you called an, quote-unquote, older gamer. I'm 30. I live with my wife.
Hold up. Yeah, you just called himself an older gamer at 30? Come on, man.
So we're what? Yeah, we're
compared
what?
Compared to the 42-year-old who's not here from St. Petersburg, Florida?
That's true. All right, so he's 30, lives with his wife. He also has he has no children, but he spends a lot of free time playing games on Xbox. And here's the thing. He's not a fan of he's not an online gamer, but that's because he always have a hard time finding people to play co-op and online with. His question is, do you have any advice on how to become more social in online gaming? Thanks for all you guys do, and congrats on the big 600th episode. Brandon, thanks a lot. His gamer tag is Gate Junkie. That's Gate Junkie, all in one word, on Xbox Live. Brandon, back in the days when we started playing online games, it was like a new thing. And it was a lot easier to find people, you know, back then. Now it's a little bit tough because there's so many gamers. So my advice is to you is depend what games do you have. I think it's cool that you hit us up here on the show, on the podcast. We could read your gamer tag. Maybe people out there that are listening to the podcast, probably they'll add you and they will hit you up and everything. Or join a community. Like a perfect example, we have a community area that we created on PlayStation Network. You could go there to the Gamertag Radio forums there. Is it a forum? What is that? It's like a
It's just a community. A it's just, you know, a whole bunch of people from the gaming community joined the GTR mm-hmm. community within PlayStation.
Okay, there you go. So you could also find people there if you have a PlayStation. Now for Xbox, I'm still talking to the Xbox team because we've been having issues with our Gamertag Radio Club. Originally, one of our listeners created one, but I think he did it wrong. So it wasn't open to the public. And he had to like approve everybody. It was just like a mission. So he deleted it, but it's still there. And I contacted Xbox to see if they could fix it and to let me create my own Gamertag Radio Club on Xbox Live. And that will be another easier way for you to also meet other gamers, you know? So there's different ways. And the thing is, too, I know through Destiny, there's a way for you also to join could you call it a clan?
Yeah.
Or the Guardians.
It's a community.
Look up Gamertag Radio there, or Forza, the new Forza game. I created a Gamertag Radio car club, which I believe it has over 200 members now. And it's awesome. We play all the time. People are competing against each other, and you see the leaderboards. And we at the same time, we're competing against other car clubs. So it depends on the game and depends on how, like, the matchmaking, the features, you know, with different games or the consoles, if they have, like, the community or club pages and stuff. So that, to me, is an easier way for you to find other gamers too, you know. And once you find one, that person is going to recommend to another one, and it's just going to go around and around and around. So just recently playing Gears of War 4, and I was like, man, nope, not that many people have the game, so let me just go with matchmaking. And I did, and I found this guy that we were playing up to like level, I think we reached to wave 36, I think it was.
Wow.
Us together, you know? So little things like that. Now I added him to my friend list, and now we've been playing a lot, almost daily, because of that too, man. So, but Pete, what about you? This any advice you could tell him? Did you give him?
It's all personality and whether it does take a while for you to gain some trust, but some of my better friends over the last, you know, couple of years, I've gained through gaming. Not everybody is the same, and it's a touchy subject, especially mm-hmm. when you've got people who maybe from a personality or an emotional standpoint, they just don't feel comfortable getting to know other people. It's part of life, right? But it is possible. I mean, there's people that have gotten married through Halo. I think there's a group that was, there was a couple that was, that they met through Destiny and they got married. They've been together for a couple of years. It all depends on the most important part, having something in common, because that's usually the best way to break down that barrier of protection or emotional wall, that, you know, security blanket that comes up. Just, I guess the easiest way, just join one of the communities. It doesn't even have to be ours. It can be a random community. Just make sure that the people in that community have the same mental makeup or emotional, you know, what you're looking for, something that meets and satisfies you. I can't tell you, I don't know if I could recommend something that you would like. That's something, and this kind of goes back to the last conversation about, you know, personal responses and opinions. The only person that's going to be able to tell you like this, or that you can get along with somebody or something, is you. And so I would say maybe lurk on forums or communities until you find one that fits your niche, that has people that have the same thought processes and concepts and life goals as you, and then go from there. And then, you know, start up the conversation. And next thing you know, you'll be playing with somebody, and, you know, who knows? Maybe that person becomes a good friend.
So any Gamertag Rare listeners out there, whoever like to, you know, play with Brandon online on Xbox Live, his Gamertag is Gate Junkie. That's Gate Junkie all together in one word. All right. So Brandon, let us know if you got to play with a couple of listeners, and we'll go from there, man. So good luck, man. And by the way, thanks for emailing us. You know that we have a lot of listeners, but there's a lot that are very shy. they don't want to send emails, or they want to call a voicemail. So come on, guys, we just hit us up. We would love to play on the show, man. All right, Pete, hold on a second. We have a sponsor for episode 606. You know, Uber is back. We have all taken jobs to earn extra cash. Back in the days, I used to be a promoter. I know for those that don't know, I used to be a street promoter here in Miami, Florida. And it was tough. That was a way for me to get extra money back in the days. I've got a better way you can earn extra money on the side. And let me tell you, it's so much easier today thanks to Uber. Uber's the ultimate side hustle. Driving with Uber is a new way you can earn extra cash whenever you want. And it's just not another job. It's totally flexible way to earn. You can turn it on and off just like your car. And if you have a few spare hours here and there, drive with Uber. If you drive right now while listening to Gamertag Radio, you should be earning right now. Every day is payday when you drive with Uber, because you can cash out at any time with instant pay. With access to instant pay, cash out your earnings up to 5 times a day with no minimum amount required. Listen, if you enjoy earning extra cash, if there's a special thing that you would like to buy, like the Xbox One S or the PlayStation Pro coming out in November, your car can start making you money. So go ahead, get your side hustle on. Sign up to Drive with Uber today. Go to uber.com/drive now. That's uber.com/drive now. That's uber.com/drive now.
Back on the scene.
This is Gamertag Radio. Voicemail at 786-2737-GTR.
All right, this next one is from Charles. Hi, Gamertag Radio. As you can see, I like Destiny a lot. And he has included a screenshot of his Xbox that shows he's played for 38 days, 11 hours, and 33 minutes worth of time on Destiny.
Wow.
Yeah. So thank you for writing in, Charles. I play solo, no raids, no tower. I play on Xbox. I have been fine with the year lag on all the content, but pushing it back even more than a year has made me salty, and I'm always peppery. I have been playing Bungie games since Myth 2, and I bought all the DLC day one. I'm not buying Destiny 2 till year 2 and save $100 on DLC. Bungie doesn't care about its longtime fans. I was going to buy Destiny on PS4 with all the DLC, but then they pushed the Xbox exclusive back even more than a year, so I am pushing them back a year. P.S. The time played is for the first 2 years. So I did some research, and I looked up Mr. Charles on Wasted on Destiny, because apparently this is my new boredom toy. So I saw the thing and I was like, there's no way he has played 38 days worth of games, because that, you know, let me pull out the old school calculator here. I got to do some maths. Mm-hmm. 38 days times 24 hours, essentially 672 hours. Mm. Right.
Okay.
So according to wastedondestiny.com, he's actually only put in 355 hours. And the reason it lit a spark for me to look into this is because the game is actually put into suspension when you like turn off the box. When you turn off your Xbox, it actually suspends the game, but it considers you still, quote unquote, I'm doing air quotes, in game. So unfortunately, you can't always use your Xbox to tell you how much time you've played. That's the overall time that you've had the game on in an activated or an enabled state on Xbox. So Charles, I'm sorry, but you only have 355 hours. You don't have as much. step up your game.
Got called out. Called out, son.
Step up your game. Yeah. Play some raids. Play some Iron Banner. And get it on PS4 so you can join Paris and myself.
All right. All right, so we have another email. This is from Jesse. He is from all the way from Connecticut. He wrote, this is Silent J86. Don't know if that's his gamer tag or PSN, but shout out to him. Was just wondering how the whole server issues affect a newly released game as well as how it affects a game review. My understanding was that the whole point of a beta was to stress test tons of people on their servers at a given time. How is it that after a test, a developer can still not determine how many players can affect the overall quality of the game? Is it not as simple as buying or updating their servers in order to prevent an overload? Please assist in my knowledge and keep up the good work. Thank you. Thank you for the email, man. That's a great question, Pete. We've been playing a lot of games that we tried out the beta or demo first, and then once the game releases, most of the time so far, it's been really, really smooth and no issues. But in the past, there's been games that we play the beta and everything, and once the game releases, it's like a disaster. Why is that?
QA. I mean, QA, you can't always take into account every single nuance or experience or random hardware glitches. It's a hit or miss thing in software development. Working in IT, I kind of see it almost on a regular basis. You can only test so much. A lot of times some of these glitches or hacks, as people like to call them these days, they occur by accident, and it's just a matter of being in the right place at the wrong place at the wrong time. Being, like I said, I work in IT. I've seen it enough in IT environments where it's just a matter of the situation being ripe. It's kind of like when you get sick. It's like it's getting the virus and having a weakened immune system that makes it worse sometimes. And sometimes that's just what this is. It's just a matter of having the right people at the right time in the right spot that all of a sudden it creates this, you know, it creates an issue. You can't also for stress testing, for example, like we did the Titanfall 2 stress test. That stress test typically is done with reduced graphics. I know for the first one, I think it was 50% less graphic content from what was actually put out on the full release of the game. And that's more that's to gauge to make sure that parts of the game work. A good thing to know is they do heavy stress testing for as much as possible, as much as they can do. When I went to go do the Medal of Honor play test for a week, a couple of years ago in California for EA, like we literally would play for for 4 hours straight with a 1 hour review with developers and tell them our thoughts. Then they would go back and work on another set of code while we played for another 4 hours and did another 1 hour down, you know, de-stress and talk to the developers. And then the developers would work for 8 hours after we left to go put a new build together and then repeat and rinse and repeat for days on end. That was just what we did for a week. They do this for the entire iteration of a game development. So you can't always account for everything. You know, sometimes it's, you know, people are playing in an apartment building, and you know, you've got something like Comcast internet where it's shared internet, and not everybody's going to have a finite perfect experience versus someone who has DSL via UVerse and they've got dedicated bandwidth per house. You know, sometimes you've got an older Xbox One or an older PlayStation 4 or, you know, an older PC with some things that just don't render right. or, you know, you've got, you know, like your kids are watching Netflix, and there's just a whole litany of things that could go wrong. You can't stress test everything, you know? So, and it's not a, you can't, it's in today's IT, it's not, just standing up another, it's not just buying more servers to prevent overload. There is DevOps as the industry calls it. There's tools that will automate things, like stance, for example, if your website is experiencing more than the average load, there's tools such as Chef, which will actually start to automatically spool up servers to support your infrastructure, to make sure that the user experience is optimal. And then once the server load or the user load starts to lower than a specific threshold, it'll decommission servers automatically. So that way you're not, you know, wasting resources that could be used elsewhere. So there's a whole lot of things that, and I don't want to turn this into IT 101 radio here, but there's a whole laundry list of things that developers and publishers can account for, and some things you just can't. Like, you can hope to stress test for a million players, but you do that beta test and sometimes only 500,000 people hit it, and you've got to go based on that calculation of how well it performed with 500,000 people. Or sometimes, you know, you stress test 500,000 people and we're like, okay, that's how it was. And then day one, it loads up and you've got 750,000 or a million people playing your game at the same time. You weren't ready for that, you know? And so you have to hope that you've got the infrastructure in place to be able to start spooling up servers, or the infrastructure to do it itself. And sometimes it's not just the servers itself. Sometimes it's the network. And again, sometimes it's out of your control. Sometimes you're just not ready for it. Sometimes it's a matter of having the right response and making sure that the next time you do it, you do better. And the way the games sphere has gone over the last 5 or 10 years, and it's essentially picking up steam and becoming bigger and bigger every year, you can go based off last year's, but it's always going to be more playing your game today. So it's a guessing game at best.
All right. So we have another email here. This is from Jeremy all the way from Colorado. His email is about 1080p or 4K. All right. So he wrote, is 4K just a fad like 3D was? Should Sony and Microsoft just stick to 1080p and get that working first? Most people don't even have a 4K television. Your thoughts, Pete?
I don't think 4K is a fad. 3D was a fad. Curved televisions were a fad. Those were gimmicks to get you to buy them. 4K is today's version of 1080p was 5, 6, 7, 8 years ago. And then, you know, before that it was, oh, we could do 720p. And then it's like, okay, what's better? You know, they're already talking 5K TVs. They're mad, very, very, very expensive. Don't even bother looking at the price. But again, that dictates your expendable budget. Can, you know, do you have the available coin to throw at it? If not, it's not a requirement. It's a want. It's not a need. I don't think they should just stick to 1080. I think they should do what's in the best interest of the game, the experience, and I think they've already done well with 1080. I don't think they can do any more with the 1080, with 1080p resolution. And if you can do it more, if you could do more, and there's people that are willing to spend the coin to do it better, and watch it better, for example, watch it in 4K or play it on 4K, hey, go for it.
Yeah. All right. P, I know we have another email here. Let's read our last email. This is from Brian.
Okay.
God of War.
Brian, God of War. Hey, guys, recently started listening to the show, and congrats on all the success. I have really enjoyed it so far. I am interested in all the talk about getting a PS4 and Xbox One S. They both seem pretty solid, and I would love to have a PS4 so I could experience some of those great exclusives. I was incredibly excited about the new God of War, and I might be a little delusional, but I swear they modeled the new Kratos after me. Single badass dad with an awesome beard and bald head. I jokingly made a mock-up to show how we are the one and the same and sent it to Sony to see if they would share the mirth and hook me up. I never heard back. I know how you feel. The reason I bring this up
That's a good one, Pete.
Is your discussion over the fan service Microsoft gives. I don't feel like Sony has really cared for its fans since the PS2 era. Their fan service matches the UI for the PS4. It works, but it could be better. I don't have a horse in the console race, but I would like to see some new energy in Sony. They are leading the console sales, but I feel they fall very short in terms of community when compared to Microsoft. Thanks for your time and keep up the great shows. Brian.
When it comes to community, I mean, I don't know. I think they've been okay with the whole community thing. I know that when a couple of our friends used to work at Sony, they really pushed that big time during the days of PlayStation 3. So I don't know. Do you see an issue with that, Pete? Because I really don't. I really don't see that. Like, I think they've been good with that.
I think they've been community stuff. They've gotten better.
Yeah. They've gotten better. And even Microsoft been getting way better. But I think the people that have been kind of like slipping big time with that has been Nintendo, I think.
We know Microsoft has always had a really good, a really good relationship with this community. That's probably why they have some of the most rabid fans in the industry. I mean, you know, we're on the show here with General Emerald here, right? But Sony, they've got their own, you know, they've got their own dedicated fan base, and I think it's just I don't know. Do you feel that you as a Sony PlayStation owner, do you feel the love from Sony when it comes to the offerings that they do? I mean, if you've got PlayStation Plus, you're getting free games. If you've got Xbox Live, you got Xbox with Gold, you're getting free games. What more could a gamer want than free games?
Yeah. I mean, there's also been communication with the execs that work at Sony PlayStation. They try their best to communicate with other people, like with their fans online on Twitter and stuff. So that's pretty cool too, you know. And when we go to let's say we go to E3, sometimes we see like just regular fans. They're not media. They don't have no YouTube pages. They're just fans of Sony waiting outside of the press conference to see if Sony could let them in.
Hey, perfect example. PlayStation Experience.
And they let them in.
PlayStation Experience. Exactly.
That's a community
event. That's all community just for Sony PlayStation. Microsoft doesn't have anything like that for Xbox.
Well, they do, but it's more Xbox Fan Fest.
Right, but that's...
But that's a community event, P. It's not... They don't charge like the PlayStation Experience. Mm-hmm. PlayStation Experience is just... To me, it's like a convention. That's like a whole weekend event. You're there, there's panels, you get to play the games, you get to meet the developers, indie developers too, and to have press conferences. FanFest is more of, they get invited to the event, check out like E3, the press conferences, and you also will get to see games at E3, stuff like that. And they will give you like goodies, nice little swag bags or so on, and you get to meet the execs of Microsoft at Xbox,
right? But
you
know? I think
both are doing good,
but it's a very, very small subset of people that actually get access to that. Like, I know Sydney just had a fan fest down in Australia. Yeah. Hey, Roger.
And I think I think that was their first one over there.
Right. So, you know, hey, Roger, I know you're a listener. You've been writing into us. You know, maybe that's something that you had a chance to do. If you did have a chance to go, you should, you know, write us and let us know how you felt. But that's 250 fans in one, you know, on a 2-day experience. While you are catering to the community, it's a very, very small percentage of people when in comparison to something like PlayStation Experience, where they have they're hitting thousands of people and thousands, you know, that when we're talking, not just like 1,000 people, we're talking like tens of thousands of people getting their hands on games over a couple of, you know, over what, a 2-3 day period. So same amount of time, but a lot more people.
Yeah, but again, it's two different programs. You know, I at the end of the day, I feel that both companies are really investing in the community. There was a time that both companies just stopped that. Mm-hmm. They stopped a lot of community programs and everything. And because of the fans, the consumers complaining, like, what, you know, you guys, especially the Xbox, you guys, when you started, it was all about community, and then you just disappeared for a couple of years. And same thing with Sony. There was a time that they were number one, they didn't really care about the fans. But now, look, a couple of years after the release of PlayStation 3, they start having community programs and stuff. The thing to me is, I would like to see that from Nintendo too. I'm not really seeing that at all from Nintendo at all. So, but at least PlayStation and Microsoft are actually investing a lot on community, because at the end of the day, when they have these events, the fans are going to talk about it to their friends online, social media, you know, Facebook and Twitter and so on. And it just goes around and it creates hype. And it just, it's exciting to see that as a fan of gaming, you know? So why not do that, Nintendo?
I agree. Go ahead. You can't do Nintendo Direct and have it behind a screen. I think it does us disservice to its customer and its fan base. But at the same time, a lot of their people are from Japan, so that translation mm-hmm. doesn't come across. So, I don't know. I agree. I think Nintendo should do something like this. And I think they have. I mean, I remember that event we did Miami.
Yeah, they, yes. Actually, I was going to mention that. There's been two events. So the first event was right before the release of the Wii. They came down to Miami and they took us to like a location, a secret location where they had Wii. It was like a Wii party right before the console came out. And it was at that time, that was when Ant used to be part of GTR. Nintendo told him that he was in charge of the party to invite all his friends. And he invited us and we went to the event and everything. We got to play Zelda, Wii Sports, all that stuff. So then years later for the Wii U, Nintendo came down and it was like a Wii U event, which Pete, you were there. Mm-hmm. My family was there, a bunch of people. And it was that to me is fun because that's the community checking out the games right before the system comes out. So now with the whole NX coming out, I hope that Nintendo could also invest on that and let the fans check out these systems and maybe have a developer or two at this event so they could ask questions, get to meet them. Okay, that's a very cool experience, man, that you're not going to get nowhere else, you know? So I hope they could do that in the future too for this new console coming up.
I agree. I agree 100%.
I'm going to play this on unreleased audio that I recorded during Call of Duty XP in LA. And once we come back, we're going to wrap it up over here. So we'll be right back after this.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it. Send us your feedback or questions. Yeah. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com. Or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right, so I'm here now in the lake, still here, you know, hanging out with a couple of friends here from the gaming industry and stuff. And we have a special guest for this week of Gamertag Radio. What's up?
Hi.
Well, what's here? Present yourself and then mention what you do.
Yeah, my name is John Huber. I'm the video game reviewer and chief film critic for the HD Room. And, you know, just out here in LA checking out some new games.
Awesome, awesome, man. So I know you've been to E3 in the past, and this year you went to E3, right?
Oh, yeah.
Was there any games that you think gamers should purchase this holiday season? Any of them that you've seen during E3?
Well, I really enjoyed the first Dishonored game back in 12, and Dishonored 2 just looks absolutely fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, a couple of three really, really great shooters coming out with Call of Duty, Infinite Warfare, and Battlefield 1, and Titanfall 2, of course. You know, I didn't get to play the Battlefield 1 beta because I was here in L.A., but the other two games I've played extensively recently, and mm-hmm. I'm really stoked for both all three of them, actually.
What do you think of Infinite Warfare that's coming out now in a couple weeks.
I'm excited for it. I think it's Call of Duty meets Star Wars, which is exciting.
Mm-hmm.
I like that they went ahead that far into the future and, you know, brought in some space travel and laser rifles and you know, big mechs, and not everyone's wearing an exo suit. I mean, it got kind of old. The last three Call of Duty games have all essentially been somewhat the same.
Yeah.
Double jumping, wall jumping, all that stuff. So if you're going to go future, go future. And they've done that. So it's a pretty exciting time.
Hey, do you see yourself playing that or maybe Titanfall 2, Battlefield? What were your thoughts on that?
Well, in the hierarchy, I'd definitely go Call of Duty. Battlefield's great. It's probably the best of all three of the multiplayers.
Oh, so you're into the big maps?
Oh, yeah.
Bunch of players playing online and everything at the
chaotic.
Same time.
It feels like war. Sound effects... Yeah, they do an amazing job replicating those sound effects. So I look forward to it, but I mean, I love the big bombastic Hollywood style games like Call of Duty.
Yeah,
that's a big deal. But then whenever you put a shooter in there with mechs, talking huge towering mechs like Titanfall, I mean that's just every boy's dream. And I love the first Titanfall. It's one of the few people who actually absolutely loved it. And the beta for 2 was just fantastic.
I'm excited to play the campaign for Titanfall 2. I think it's going to be really, really good, man, once it comes out in October. So I'm excited for that. Definitely I want to play that, Titanfall 2. Is there any games that came out earlier this year that, you know, maybe by now is probably going to be cheaper that gamers should pick up and play? Doesn't matter which console or PC.
Yeah, we're starting to see the price drops for the holiday season, which is great. A lot of people liked Overwatch. I didn't. I thought it was very overrated.
Really? I think it's a great game, man. It's a great game.
There's nothing to it. It's two or three multiplayer modes. Yeah, there's 40-some-odd characters you can play, but they're just reskins of like the same four archetypes. And it's I didn't see what the hype was about.
Remember, guys, everybody have different opinions, so if you don't agree with him, that's fine.
I mean, it looked good, and the art direction was fantastic on it. The levels were cool. But, you know, when you bought the game digitally, or if you even bought a hard copy, it's 16 gigs to download. There's not a lot there. It kind of tells you it's a bare-bones game. You know, we get a lot of small indie games that are bigger than that to review. So I wanted more, and there was nothing there. There was no story, no semblance of story. You know, you could have 12 people playing. Everyone's playing a Reaper. Why? Who am I fighting and why? Give me a reason, a purpose, and they didn't.
Mm-hmm.
Ever. They may have a tie-in comic book, but I bought a game, and I'm not buying a comic book series. Mm-hmm. So, you know, Overwatch, it's fun to play, but I wasn't a fan.
Okay, that's fine. I know that you also review movies, correct? Mm-hmm. And TV shows, too, or just movies?
I've done TV shows in the past, but primarily I'm just a film critic.
All right, so the new Star Wars movie that's coming out, Rogue One. Your thoughts on that? Because there was rumors a couple months ago that they had to reshoot some scenes again. I think Disney wasn't happy with it. Do you see that this is going to be a good movie once if the final version releases in December?
Oh, definitely. I have such high hopes for this movie. The director is it's in great hands, put it that way. We've never seen this. We've never seen a standalone Star Wars movie. The closest thing would have been the Ewok Adventures from the 80s, the ABC movies of the week. So having something coming out that's not in the trilogies, it's breaking new ground. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be a darker story. And that's the rumor was the reshoots were helped to try to lighten that up a little bit. Because it is a very trying time in the Rebellion. The first crawl from A New Hope tells us that.
Yeah.
And we're going to see why it's a trying time. So it is exciting. You've obviously seen the trailer for it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's AT-ATs on a beach, dude. You can't get any better than that.
That's goosebumps right there. Right. And, you know, I'm excited because are they going to show something? I mean, you don't have to say anything now, but I'm wondering if they're going to show something that's going to really relate to the new films that's coming out, that came out last year, and the ones that's coming out next year and on. So,
well, I mean, like Forrest Whitaker's character is tied in through the Clone Wars cartoon.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's now in Rogue One. So there could be something that bridges. Disney's actually said there's not, but you never know. There could be a little Easter egg here or there.
Really good with that.
Yeah, even if they just announced really one of the planets, you know, Jakku or something from the new trilogy, that could make a big difference. Mm-hmm. I'm just really excited to see Darth Vader again, as with probably most people.
That I'm excited about that.
And not the whiny no version.
Yeah. Any other movies that you should recommend that's coming out later this year?
Well, you know, I don't want to be a video game homer here, but Assassin's Creed. I so cannot wait for that movie. I'm a huge fan of the game series. I love Michael Fassbender as an actor. That first trailer, with the way it ended with a leap of faith, I literally had goosebumps, and I may have audibly gasped. So I'm really excited for it. End of the year is what we call award season, and there's so many big movies coming out. We don't get to see a lot of the genre picks. We pretty much have to see all the art house films and all the award contenders. Mm-hmm. It gets kind of boring for us this time of year, but there's so much stuff to see. And with Rogue One, Assassin's Creed are my two big circles this year that I can't wait.
What do you think of the whole like Netflix taking over now with all these exclusive movies and TV shows?
Oh, they're doing a fantastic job. Yeah. I mean, Stranger Things was amazing.
Yeah.
Daredevil was... Both of them were great. I'm a huge Punisher fan, and they absolutely nailed the Punisher. Probably the best Punisher we have ever seen and will ever see. They're knocking out of the park. Jessica Jones. Mm-hmm. I read comic books. I was fringe familiar with the character, but that was fantastic. Luke Cage character was amazing in there, and you know we've got Iron Fist coming out, and Pyromant and Iron Fist have that history. So I think we're going to see Danny Rand kind of get introduced in Luke Cage, maybe as an ancillary character, but the foundation for his show, which comes out sometime next year, will be laid with Luke Cage. So that's exciting. And since he's in the same world as Jessica Jones and Daredevil and now the Punisher and all these, and they're all leading to that Defenders, they're going to keep adding more and more to it and building the foundation that the movies have and how the movies are always connected somehow, some way. So it's exciting to watch, especially as an old comic book fan, to just see how they're bringing it all together.
Yeah, man, I'm excited for that, man. Especially the Defenders. I wonder how that's going to work once they have all the characters together and everything. And I think that's next year, 2017.
I think so.
Now, my question is, before we wrap it up, how many different series are they planning to have in 1 year? Because you know, Daredevil is a pretty high most viewed show on Netflix. They're going to have that air and a couple other ones. Are they going to have every single one of them in 1 year? How they could pull that off?
I've heard that they've delayed season 3 of Daredevil to get Jessica Jones season 2 out. Mm-hmm. And in fact, Daredevil season 3 may not even hit till after the Defenders hits.
Oh.
So you're going to see Luke Cage this fall, Iron Fist next year, Jessica Jones late next year, and then the Defenders. But there's that rumor that they're fast-tracking the Punisher, so he could just pop up. And he's not really a defender. He's going to be his own little side story, so we'll see what they do there. And while the movies and TV are separate Marvel universes, the Netflix and the Marvel TV is not. So with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. introducing a version of Ghost Rider this fall, you know, we could see some Ghost Rider, Punisher.
Ooh, that sounds good. That sounds really good, yeah.
1990s Marvel comics right
yeah.
there.
Yeah, yeah. All right, thanks, man.
All right, thank you.
Yep. Take it out.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
All right, so that's it. Pete, thank you for joining me this week for this episode.
No problem. Anytime.
Let me tell you, the past few weeks has been extremely busy for us. A lot of games, a lot of events, a lot of interviews. And this is just the beginning because I have more stuff coming up.
No. We all do. I mean, I think I mentioned it the other day. We're officially in I don't have enough time for all these games season.
Yeah, and it's only us three.
Yeah, and it's a good time to be in games and it's a bad time to be in video games. I'll be checking out and reviewing the Call of Duty single player campaign Modern Warfare Remastered, as well as Duke Nukem 3D 20th Anniversary World Ooh. Tour 3D. That's a lot of words to say.
That's not very long.
But
and what about Mafia 2?
I think Mafia 3 too. Again.
Wait a minute. Mafia 3. My Mafia bad. 3, like Mafia
yeah.
2.
Yeah, well,
Mafia 3. Wow. I'm behind.
Yes. Yeah,
Mafia
catch up.
3.
There catch up, Danny.
Yeah, I'm still stuck in the days that we had a party for Mafia 2. All right. So, and is that, and I'm working on a couple interviews for the show. Oh. So stay tuned. I can't say who it is, but I'm still working on it. Still working on it. All right. So until next time, we'll be back on Monday. So stay tuned here only on Gamertag Radio. Go to gamertagradio.com or play.it/gamertag and listen to our past episodes. And yes, you can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Spotify, and other podcast directories. And also, big, huge shout out to the Huffington Post. They talked about us, Pete.
Yes, they did.
One of the top podcasts in here in South Florida, in Miami. What?
Yeah. How was that for waking up on a Monday morning, finding out that our site was listed in the Huffington Post?
I was not expecting that at all.
At all.
At all. And it was crazy because it was right after we posted the Destiny Talk Radio episode with you guys. By the way, that interview with Deej, pretty good. I liked
it. Thank you.
It was that episode. We put it up, and then I get a message. Oh, we have you on here in the Huffington Post. I was like, whoa, okay. I wasn't expecting that, but that's dope. Big things for us, man. So, very dope. All right, until next time, we're out. Peace.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.